welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. We have with us today Mr. Rohan Masakurala, who is currently the CEO of the Shippers Academy Colombo, consultant logistics to the United Nations International Trade Center in Geneva, and also the chairman of the National's Export Strategy on Logistics to the Export Development Board of Sri Lanka. Mr. Rohan is here with us today to speak about Sri Lanka's maritime space and the recent developments, and also how the pandemic has impacted the maritime industry in general. Mr. Rohan, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
So we would like to begin by asking you about the pandemic's impact on Sri Lanka's logistics and transport industry in general.
Yeah, Sri Lanka, as you know, is a small economy, so we depend on the regional economies for our port sector as well as the international logistics engagement with the region. So our main area of concern is that we rely on 70% of Indian cargo for transshipment in port of, and also a considerable volume of Bangladesh, nearly one-third of Bangladesh cargo comes through Port of Colombo. And of course, the domestic exports support balance in exports and imports. So with the pandemic, of course, initially we had this supply chain disruption from China. That is, we were sourcing, the region was sourcing a lot of volume from China, and there was initial concern that inward input cargo for export processing and consumer markets will be affected. But when the pandemic spread, suddenly became a global issue, we realized that the problem is much greater and all our countries got severely affected. If you look at Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka's export basket consists of 45% of its apparel. If you look at Bangladesh, it's well over 80%. India is not so much in apparel, but India is also typically dependent on the European and Western markets. And the collapse of those economies in terms of purchasing power and closing of business immediately hit us, and our orders got cancelled. So we nearly lost 80% of our export orders for the apparel sector alone in the month of April. And so obviously, the transshipment volumes dropped and the regional volumes dropped from Far East to the whole world. And Port of Colombo, which is a main transshipment hub of South Asia, which is the major and the only transshipment hub, got affected by April, May. The numbers are coming out. We were down by about 30-40%, ship arrivals dropped by about 12%, which is considered not bad compared to some of the other ports. But there was a significant impact on our logistics industry, and we are still going through that motions, hoping that some recovery will come in the next few months. But it doesn't look so because our main markets of the Indian subcontinent is still severely affected. And sadly, I must confess that South Asia's contribution to the global economy is about 4%. Whereas our population in the world compared to the world population is about 22-23%. So there is a huge imbalance, and I see the sad part of it, but I see opportunity because before the pandemic, this part of the world was the fastest growing economic region in the world. So I see that if we get back to some normalcy, this part of the world might attract more foreign investment. Because of the pandemic, we feel that some of the supply chains will move out of China. So that is the overall macro picture with the pandemic.
Interesting. Over the last few years, Sri Lanka has become an important maritime hub in the Indian Ocean, given the importance to Indo-Pacific and also the Chinese investments coming into Sri Lanka. So could you tell us about the important developments in Sri Lanka's ports and shipping industry since then, ever since Chinese investments have started coming in? And how does the fact that the pandemic emerged from China affected the growth in the industry in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, so I'll start from where you stopped. The pandemic has affected the growth of ports and its volumes and its investment, potential investments into an uncharted area where we don't know where it is going to head in the medium to short term, but it doesn't look so very rosy at the moment, hoping that I'm wrong. If you look at the Sri Lankan ports, of course, everybody talks about its geographic location. And we knew that from the 1970s, when the economy, we saw that the shipping sector for transshipment and interest in Sri Lanka and Port of Colombo was very much focused by shipping lines because it gives access to the Indian subcontinent and then the African continent and Europe, Middle East and the Far East, a good connectivity location. So obviously, China came in about 5 to 10 years back when Sri Lanka was coming out of a civil war, and China took advantage of investing in Sri Lanka because they realized that the location, geographic location, makes a lot of sense for international shipping in the future. The Strait of Sri Lanka, where the Hambantota port, where China has now invested heavily, is the main east-west shipping route. And they have initially gone into the business of bunkering. Energy shipping is focused upon, whereas Port of Colombo is focusing on containerized cargo at the moment. And there's a major investment in the Port of Colombo of the Chinese terminal, which is called the CICT, which is the only deep draft terminal in South Asia that has geographic advantage and economic advantage, and the only port that can handle the deep draft ships. So all the mainliners are operating to Colombo. And in fact, we were coming into a position before COVID that we didn't have enough capacity for major ships in Colombo because the second terminal was not developed. Since the COVID, volumes have dropped. So therefore, the shipping patterns have dropped. We have got back to some kind of capacity management for big ships. Mm. Long term, yes, China's investments I look at as strategic investments in Sri Lanka in terms of commerce, because I think the regional countries didn't realize the value of Sri Lanka and they only focused on the war on Sri Lanka, but they didn't realize that this country has a huge geographic potential, which we had actually neglected. But now in the 21st century, we see that the Indian subcontinent economies are growing. India is going to be a big economy. India's output of trade is going to grow. Bangladesh is doing well. So Indian subcontinent alone will have a market for logistics. So we see China's involvement as a positive thing in port development, but of course there are concerns in terms of geopolitics.
While we're speaking about China, a widely known narrative about the Hambantota port development is that it is under Chinese debt trap. So what are the ground realities of the Hambantota port development vis-a-vis the narrative of the debt trap?
Yeah, I think the debt trap story is a bit proportionately overblown if you look at the port itself, because the port project was actually designed by some of the Sri Lankans that we should build a port in Hambantota as far back as 1980s, because we were seeing that thousands of ships bypassing Colombo and going to other ports in the Far East, specifically in Singapore, for crude oil business, really the energy hub in Singapore. So we had missed the bus because of nationalization policy in the 1960s. That most of the energy companies that were present in Sri Lanka moved out of Sri Lanka and left one of the most natural ports of Trincomalee to do nothing. And the oil tanks that were there built by the British, nearly 100 tanks were corroding. So there was bad policy part of in Sri Lanka. Hambantota port was always a logical destination for shipping. But what happened was even the countries like India, which we offered, I always think that India never saw the economic opportunities of Sri Lanka. So we can't blame China for that, or any other country for that matter, if they are invested strategically, because China is looking at its BRI project not for 5 or 10 years, but it's looking at 56 years down the line for its economic supply chains. Of course, as a world maritime power, they would like to have strategic locations. But in terms of the port itself, when it was constructed, Sri Lankan authorities again mismanaged because they didn't do a feasibility study on business feasibility. They only did the feasibility of a building of a port. Just to build ports, businesses to come there, you need partners. Right. So they never looked at proper partners. They have never locked in partners, but they thought when you build a port, business will come overnight, which didn't happen. And of course, the government that came into power post-2015, new government had no options. They invited other partners, but nobody seems to be interested, and they had no option but to go into a partnership with China, where Sri Lanka is a minority partner. But what we expect in the long run, if the Chinese develop the port commercially, we might have export processing zones and other investments that can be attracted to this new location, which has enough land for development. So this is the overall picture. So it was a debt situation, all right, for Sri Lanka, But it was a badly managed situation from our point of view by Sri Lankans, because it was not forced upon us, but it was our own creation that created this debt without proper business planning. And these are not the only project, even the airport of Hambantota is a similar situation.
Interesting. Before we discuss further about the geopolitical tensions, could you tell us more about the Trincomalee and Colombo ports' roles in terms of development?
Yeah. Colombo port is considered a transshipment hub in the South Asian region, and it is ranked among the world as the 22nd in terms of volumes and number 11 in terms of connectivity. So it's a quite a good port into look at the world's port situation, and it has always had growth when we had capacity enhancement. Always we had flat growth or negative growth when we didn't invest on capacity in Port of Colombo. So it was a natural kind of a gold mine for shipping. But again, policymakers were slow in Sri Lanka to really put in effort to develop the Port of Colombo. I blame nobody else. I blame our policymakers. I have no hesitation to say this at any forum. In terms of Trincomalee also, Sri Lanka lost a golden opportunity. Actually, I make public statements that Sri Lanka gave birth to the energy hub of Singapore because of our nationalization policy. Of course, we were in a polarized world with the Cold War at that time. So Cold War politics played into a lot. Both India and Sri Lanka were more closely associated with the leftist governments, which USSR connected at that time. So we went into what is called the nationalization policy in the 60s. And actually, we kicked out the foreign oil companies who were very much present in Sri Lanka. So with the World War II, and Sri Lanka was used as a strategic location by the Allied forces, which built in infrastructure in Trincomalee. Now, Trincomalee is a port that nobody has to invest a lot. You don't need to build breakwaters. You don't need to dredge it. Inside the port, it's 30 meters deep inside the port. So you just can bring any of the biggest ships in the world into that naturally beautiful port. But Sri Lanka has absolutely not used it. We're just 4% of the whole tonnage of the country is just going through Trincomalee. So what happened was after that, British focused Colombo City was taken by the Sri Lankans, and we tried to develop Port of Colombo, and we did not go into inviting foreign companies to set up energy plants in Sri Lanka, refineries. Now, for me, why should a ship go all the way to Singapore, 4 days sailing more than Sri Lanka from Middle East to refine energy and distribute to the world? Now, Sri Lanka would have been the ideal place for East and West both for energy companies to come and set up. So our national policy of nationalization of the energy made Singapore the investor hub for foreign companies to set. And today it's evident that even this year, last year, if you look at foreign companies come and invest in Singapore, Total of France recently, I think, invested energy plants in for new types of energy in Singapore, which Sri Lanka has missed the bus. Now they are looking at this area. So, in fact, China is looking at putting a refinery in Hambantota. So that may change the equation in terms of shipping also, because Sri Lanka never could attract any other ships rather than container volumes, but not the other sectors of shipping, that is bulk and energy. Also, the cruise shipping industry was, of course, gradually developing after the end of the conflict. So Sri Lanka had missed a lot in terms of Trincomalee also.
Well, in the recent times, we have seen India and Japan coming into Sri Lanka to develop the East Coast Terminal in the Colombo port. And do you think this open up doors for more geopolitical tensions in Sri Lanka?
Yes, I think I don't have to deny that. It has already opened up geopolitical tensions in the Indian Ocean, and Sri Lanka is in between these two. So it's up to Sri Lanka to manage its foreign policy and making friends with everybody, because we need a policy like in Singapore that we work with everybody rather than giving anybody any preference. And we all know that Indian Ocean itself has become a hotspot for geopolitics in terms of many areas. So obviously the two world powers now are looking at Indian Ocean. China wants its also in the Indian Ocean, looking at its operations in the Indian Ocean with its BRI project to dominate some of the trade. Through trade, of course, the security also comes into play. Also, India is concerned, we all know that, with the investments in Sri Lanka of Chinese ports and terminals, which is natural. It's up to Sri Lanka to manage this, because we don't want, nobody wants wars, we want trade. So it's up to Sri Lanka actually to manage all these partners, because at the time of difficulty, actually, Western countries were also not investing in Sri Lanka even after the war due to other reasons, whereas China looked at Sri Lanka positively at that time. And I always blame India. When I go to India, I speak on Indian forums. I said, India never saw Sri Lanka as economic potential. Like, India had the reserves to build all these ports and terminals, because at the end of the day, we are transshipping 80-70% of Indian cargo. India should have looked at Sri Lanka as a key point of strategic development for them. Being in the geography, being in the same culture, being in their own business territory, India was very slow. So you can't blame China for that. But of course, the geopolitical part, we have to accept that they are into various differences as well as common areas of trade. I mean, India's biggest trading partner was China. So you look at all of these, we need pragmatic leadership from Chinese leaders, Indian leaders, and global leaders to how to manage the Indian Ocean. I mean, Sri Lankan economy is such a small economy. It's smaller than the Mumbai Municipal Council in terms of population and economy. So Sri Lanka has to depend on foreign investors, foreign partners to develop its economy, and it will look at it. So that is how I look at the whole issue. Not that I didn't want other countries to participate in Sri Lanka, but other countries, I didn't realize that this geographic hotspot has to be looked at for better global trade and supply chains. So I think India is keen on developing partnering Sri Lanka. They have bid for a terminal in Colombo. They're looking at other avenues. Little too late, but always better than never, they would say. So that's how I look at the problem.
Just taking off from the point about foreign policy, with President Gotabaya Rajapaksa saying equidistant foreign policy is going to be our agenda, do you think Sri Lanka is moving in the right direction then?
Well, I am yet to see the government policies, because the new government was elected about 8 months back, and then, of course, after March, we were going to have the national elections, and which got postponed. So the policy direction is not very clear at the moment, as far as I am concerned. But my personal view is that Sri Lanka should use its strategic location to make it a global hub. I've been talking for 30 years that this is the best hub. I'm telling you, it's much better than a location than Dubai or Singapore. In terms of location, if you really look at the geographic map, it doesn't make sense why Sri Lanka should not be a global hub. Because we connect to Singapore in 4 days in transit, we connect 4 days to Dubai in transit, which those two hubs connect to the rest of the world from their major hubs. So if somebody locates in Sri Lanka, you have both air connectivity and ocean connectivity in a very short time, which Singapore and Dubai doesn't enjoy. Because from Dubai to go to Singapore, it takes 9-10 days. Flying hours are 7 to 8 hours. Similarly, to the other way around, from Singapore to Dubai. So Sri Lanka in between connects these two hubs at the center and a huge Indian subcontinent market. Logistics is the advantage of Sri Lanka, and also we live in such a good time zone when you are working with the world. Time zone advantages also there, so you can do your BPO operations and backward operations from a country like Sri Lanka. But I must confess, Sri Lanka doesn't have the clear atmosphere for doing business and logistics infrastructure, which is way behind. So we need international partners to develop those. And also our government's responsibility is to have that neutral policy with working with everybody, and also looking at reforming our national legal system, which is very old. British left something, we have hardly moved out of that. So there are negatives and positives in Sri Lanka, but I see the greater positives if we make the right shift. If we don't make the right shift, well, you can talk of the geography for the rest of your life, but you won't have businesses coming in and operating here if the business environment is not created.
Very interesting. Before we let you go, one last question. As countries are trying to open up their economies and get more jobs and trying to get back to normal, what are some of the significant changes or developments that are expected to take place in Sri Lanka's maritime, logistic and transport industry?
Just as you said, the countries are opening up with the COVID. There is this mindset of kind of nationalism and protectionism also that has built into a lot of countries, which is worrying me, because I am a person who believes in the free economy, competition and freedom of doing things. So when you are hit by a pandemic, what happens is government gets into a kind of a shell, not knowing what to do. And even if you look at the WTO or from the United States itself, the signals are all talking of nationalism and all that kind of stuff, which worries me because it may hinder the global growth and basic economic principles of competition and best products going to the consumer at best prices. These fundamentals can be meddled by politicians due to the situation that has arisen. So I hope that will not be the case because world needs everybody to work together and that the world economy has to be bring together. And of course, one thing I think, as I myself being an economist, I only look at this capitalistic and free economy system. What we have failed is that the Gini factor, the distribution of wealth. So something which we have to create a new mechanism to look at social security and distribution and wealth so that our citizens of each country have a better life. Otherwise, they will lose trust on this system that we are working in, and that might drag us into a situation where none of us want to be. Even in Sri Lanka, that kind of sentiments have been spoken upon, and which worries me. So I hope that we will not go in that direction post-pandemic. And one thing is I also see is that not only is regional or local, but we see a global lack of leadership in the world. So that we look at leaders positively and move towards, but each country, I mean, we are the world's biggest economy. Right now, the confidence that they give to the rest of the world is not the best. That's my personal view.
Indeed, it's extremely uncertain times, and it's also very interesting to see where we are heading towards. On that note, thank you, Mr. Rohan, for joining us and sharing all these wonderful insights about maritime space in general.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and hope I gave some insights that would help people understand the South Asian maritime industry and how we look at the region and all kinds of geopolitical and economic situation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you very much again. Yes.
Thank you. On that note, if you'd like to know more about our work, please visit www.isas.nus.edu.sg. Thank you.